are jumping right into part two. If you were not here last week, I encourage you to go on YouTube or Rumble or wherever you want to go. You can actually, if you have the app, we have a direct link to that. And you can get reality part one. This week, we're going to basically be talking about how the concepts of truth and love are going to be disappearing off of the planet as we get closer to the end time. So if you came thinking, what kind of a message am I going to hear this week? You're going to hear an end times message today. All right, amen. Okay, so last week, again, if you didn't get it, just because I know there's so many new families here and new people visiting, is that last week we laid the foundation of what is reality. Pilate actually asked Jesus that question. He said, what is truth? But if you understand truth in the Greek, because your New Testament's original language is in Greek, truth always meant the concept of reality. What actually is reality? And we talked about last week that so much of reality is disappearing off the planet. I mean, things that have been settled by science, things like, you know, there are two genders and there's not more than two. Well, now there's this reality that it seems like just every year we're adding on more and more genders. That's not reality. That's a lie from the enemy. And so there's just certain things that are disappearing off the planet that have to do with just basic truth. And so we talked about that last week. So we lay the foundation of what is truth, what Jesus said is truth. Jesus said, and we're also going to highlight the scripture again this week, that Jesus prayed to the Father before he was going back to heaven, before he was going to the cross. And he says, sanctify them or make them holy by means of the truth or by means of reality. And he says, your word, which would mean everything that God said, and we know that Jesus is the word that became flesh, and he says, thy word or your word is truth, or your word is reality. So that means anything that God says is reality, and anything that comes against that reality is an illusion or a lie. Amen. Okay, so we're going to pick up right in the middle of this. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 24:9. All of these notes are in your app, so if you have the Seven Mountains app, you can follow along. Otherwise, they'll be on the screen. Most of you already know, and for those of you who are visiting, I try to, as often as possible, take the time to go through the original Greek because it's important to be accurate. Amen. I'm not against any particular translation. But if you don't know exactly what was said, sometimes it can water down the overall idea being given. So this is Jesus talking about, the apostles said, you know, when will these things happen? When will come the end and when will be the sign of your return? And so this long dissertation that Jesus gives, he's talking about not only the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem that historically happened in 70 AD, but also about the future and how the end will happen. And so we're actually cutting into the middle of this because I didn't feel the need to highlight the stuff about the destruction of the temple since that's already taken place. So he's specifically talking about the end of days. So he says, then they, which means the world, will give you up to persecution, affliction, distress, and even death. Every race and nation will hate and detest you because you bear my name. Now remember, whenever it says in the name of Jesus, it means his authority, his cause, his reputation, and his character. So it says every race and nation will hate and detest you. That doesn't mean every person on the planet. That means every nation and race. They will hate you because you bear Jesus' authority, cause, reputation, and character. Also, at that time, many will be offended. You guys don't think anybody's being offended right now, do you? Or in this world. Or I love the meme on Facebook, good morning, everyone. How can we offend you today? So in the last days, many will be offended. And we're seeing that play out. But not just will be offended, because of the offenses that will come, many will fall away. Now, that could mean many things, but I also believe that it's specifically talking about, it says, you have to look at the context and the build of what's going on. So it says, every race and nation will hate and detest you, talking about believers, those who follow Jesus Christ, because you bear my name. Also at this time, many will be offended. So I believe because of intense persecution and hatred of believers, that many will be offended by this, say it's not worth it, I don't want to put up with this anymore. They're going to be offended and then they're going to fall away. We're going to see this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 as well. This is why, for us as believers, we should try to live a life free of offense. Because apparently, if you get offended long enough, you might fall away. Amen. Okay, so it's saying many will, they will be persecuted, they will be offended, fall away. And it says many will betray one another and hate one another. I think we saw a lot of betrayal and hate during the COVID thing. It was like the mask wearers and the non-mask wearers. The people that received the vaccine and then the anti-vaxxers. It was just this very hatred standoff thing instead of going, listen, do your research, figure out what the truth is, and live your life. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. We need to put the truth out there, and I think a lot has been happening since then that we find out about some side effects of this particular vaccine. Not that there's not side effects of a lot of vaccines, but really, again, we should be searching for truth, and we need to love people into the truth. We shouldn't create divisions and factions and stand off against one another. It says that many will be offended and fall away. And I believe this goes along with persecution, because I looked this up during the week, and it was a Pew Research study that it says, now again, this is not in the United States. This is worldwide. Worldwide, Christians are the most persecuted people group on the planet. And again, I know we don't see that in America. We don't see people dragging Christians out on the street and setting them on fire or putting them in prison and that kind of stuff. I believe those days may be in the future, but that's what I'm talking about worldwide. You have to think of places like North Korea. You have to think of like the Middle East and those kinds of places. So worldwide, Christians are the most persecuted people group on the planet. Now, I also, in the same research study, saw that the decline of Christianity is more than any other religious group right now. Now, I believe that goes along with this, that the two can go hand in hand. Because of the immense persecution of Christians, and again, I'm talking about on a global scale, that the decline of numbers or people that actually would identify or call themselves Christian is on the decline more than any other religious group on the planet. And so it makes sense that the two go hand in hand. And then through this, many will betray one another and hate one another. Okay, next verse. During this time, many false prophets will arise and deceive many. Now, again, this is important. This, when we think false prophets, if you're a kind of a church person, you're just thinking like inside Christianity. That's not what this is talking about. How many of you know that we may not call them prophets, but there's people that get in front of the cameras every day and lie to us? Every day. Oh, this is happening. Oh, this is happening. Oh, this is happening. What are they? They're false prophets. How many of you know that whenever we seem to get an election season, we have to have some great deterrent going on, or we have to create some kind of chaos? Oh, look over there, and all of this kind of stuff. It's all deception and lies. I'm not saying COVID didn't happen. I'm not saying that the riots and the burning of cities didn't happen, but I'm just saying that false prophets will get up and say things, and how many times have they said things and then they don't even come to pass? Or how many times do they say something and then create what they say they're going to do? It's interesting, if you study back before COVID, that people were predicting that this great plague was just going to sweep across the world, and we have to prepare for it before it even happened, and then boom, it happened. We have to do our research. So many false prophets will rise and deceive many. Many are deceived. Now it says, because lawlessness will be multiplied to maximum potential. I looked this up in the Greek. Many of your versions say, because sin will increase. That's not really an accurate word for the Greek. It's multiplied to maximum potential. So there will be a time in history, unlike any other time, where lawlessness will be at its pinnacle. Now, I put sin in parentheses here, and I cited the scripture below. 1 John 3:4 says, everyone who commits sin also commits lawlessness. And then he goes on to say that sin is lawlessness. So anywhere in the word where you see the word lawlessness, insert sin. Okay? There are different Greek words, but John gives us the right to do this because he says all sin is lawlessness. Now, I don't mean lawlessness like you were going 70 in a 55. That is breaking the law here, but we're talking about lawlessness against God, against God's standard, against you know, his standard of righteousness. So it says that sin and lawlessness will be multiplied to maximum potential. And because of this, the love, and many of your Bibles say of the many, that's not accurate. It should say the love of the majority will be blown cold. Now again, if you take this from what Jesus just said in the previous verse, he said that persecution comes, then offense, then falling away, then betrayal, and then what? Hatred. And then false prophets come up to fuel that hate. Here's another false prophecy that's going on, and I'm sorry if you disagree with me, but if I agreed with you, we'd both be wrong. People say today that America is more racist today than it ever has been. That is ridiculous. And it's being perpetuated from the top down. It's all, you know, if you're this skin color, you have privilege. If you're this skin color, you're the oppressor. If you're this skin color, then you're the oppressed and all of that. That does not bring us together. People like Martin Luther King Jr. wanted to bring us together, of saying it doesn't matter what your skin color is. It's the content of your character. But now you've got bad actors getting up on TV of going, no, we need to separate into all of these different groups because, you know, you're just born this way because your skin color is this. It's ridiculous. Again, it's false prophecy. Again, it's divisiveness. The Bible warns about making divisions and factions. Jesus prayed in John 17, I pray that they would be one in the same way that you, Father, are one with me. How many of you know Jesus can't get any more one with the Father than he already is? That's how we're supposed to be together as believers. It doesn't matter what color your skin is, because this is going to be gone someday. And everybody who was born again, and the Bible talks about that our spirits are made of light, that's actually in this book, that people have near-death experience. They see people as light, and then when they're drawn to Jesus, he's the greater light. And so, guess what? When this skin and bone dies, everybody's going to look the same. You're either going to be in Christ or you're not going to be in Christ. And the ones that are not in Christ are made of darkness. And so the Bible's very specific about that. So, again, this build, all of these things, it says the love of the majority will blow cold. I believe that's Christians. That's why I believe that we as believers, as we get closer to the end days, don't fill your minds with things that make you mad, that make you upset, that make you think thoughts of, wouldn't it just be easy if Joe Biden just fell over dead tomorrow? Don't laugh. I know some of you have had that thought. But I'm just saying that, again, we have to maintain our love, because if you start to go down that trail, then we're going to move out of love and into hate. And the Bible says that in the last days that the majority of people's love will be blown cold. And he doesn't want that. Why? Because of the next verse. However, the one who endures and perseveres to the end will be saved. What are you persevering through? Offense. What are you persevering through? Betrayal. What are you persevering through? Hatred. What are you persevering through? False prophets. And so that why? That you can maintain love, and I'm going to show you in verses to come, and maintain truth until the end. That's what perseverance looks like. When you read the book of Revelation, there's all these, you know, cataclysmic things that are going on and all these bad things and the mark of the beast and the false prophet and all this. And there's this phrase that keeps going through there. It says, but this is the faith and the perseverance of the saints. None of you have experienced what is to come in the end times. So we need to prepare ourselves now. As I stated last week, and again, I'm not mad at you, and we don't have to be one if you believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, but I don't believe it's going down that way. I believe there's too many warning signs to show us that we will absolutely be here through it. And everybody that thinks that we're going to be magically whisked away before anything bad happens, let me just put this out there. If you're wrong, I don't know that you're going to be ready for what is to come. So it's better to prepare for the worst and to believe for the best. And I tell, you know, anybody that I know, that I have family members, I have friends that are pre-tribulation rapture people, that we're just going to, you know, like the books where you just, everybody's gets taken up, left behind, thank you, and your clothes are just laying there. If I'm wrong, I want to be wrong. I'm not glad to be going through tribulation and persecution and these terrible things in the end days. But I believe that the Bible is very clear that we will endure through the tribulation, but then when Jesus returns and God's wrath is poured out, it says that when we see him, we will become like him and we will be transformed into his same image of how we behold him. We will be taken up and then we will come down and rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. I think that is the most biblical explanation. And again, if you disagree with me, fine. This is not, you know, something to form divisions and factions over. But again, I want to be prepared for bad times. And again, if I'm wrong, I hope I'm wrong. Amen? Okay, so the one who endures and perseveres to the end will be saved. So again, Jesus is showing this picture of the things that are going to speed up. We need to endure, press through in truth and love. And then it says this, this gospel, which is just translated good news, of the kingdom. Everybody say of the kingdom. Because we're going to be talking about kingdom next week, of what is this gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached and that the apostles preached. They preached the gospel of the kingdom. This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the earth as a testimony to all the nations and races, and then the end will come. Why? Because everybody should be given equal opportunity to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, again, I know that there's parts in Peter that talk about that it's better to have never heard than to have heard and turn away. I believe that God is just. I believe that, you know, like babies that have been born and then when the end comes, you know, they didn't have a chance for their minds to mature and believe on the Lord, that of course they will be saved. I believe that all babies and children before they come to the age of decision making will absolutely be saved. But it says that the gospel will go out. Why? So that everybody has an opportunity to hear the gospel, to hear the good news. What is the good news? Your sins are forgiven. They're cast as far as the east is from the west. That the kingdom is this kingdom of his marvelous light where we can be healed. We can be set free of addictions and different things like that. The kingdom isn't just someday off in the future. It's right now. But the fullness of the kingdom will come when the king, Jesus, returns and it will be visible. It will be all of these things. But for right now, it's not. I know the ladies group was just studying this because I got a text message where they're like, can you explain this a little further? And it was about, is the kingdom in the future in heaven someday, or is the kingdom like on the inside of us right now? And I just simply responded, yes, because it's both. Jesus said that the kingdom of God will not come in a way as to be seen. But he says, no one will say, look over there. There it is over there. Look, here it is. He says, but behold, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit manifestation presence of God on the inside of us, which is why today we can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This is why we can cast out demons, which is why, I haven't done this yet, we can raise people from the dead. I know other people who have done that and it's been documented and recorded, but why? So that we can show off? No, it's so that we proclaim the kingdom of heaven is here, and then we demonstrate that the kingdom of heaven is here. That's the purpose. I mean, God wants to heal you because he loves you. He wants to deliver you from addictions and depression and all of this kind of stuff. He wants to do it because he loves you. But it's also so that people can say this stuff that Christians are talking about can be demonstrated as well, which is why I personally believe in the last days that a lot of churches that cannot demonstrate what they teach are going to fall by the wayside. Because how many of you know that it talks about when the Antichrist comes is that he's going to do signs and miracles and wonders that are going to baffle the world? And I have to believe that the church overall is going to be in this very weakened state, because if we were in a powerful state, if we were walking in miracle signs and wonders as we should be, then when the Antichrist comes, it should not baffle the world, because they'd be like, yeah, the church has been doing that for a long time. And again, I'm not coming against any churches that are not praying for the sick. I'm not coming against any of that. I'm just saying that did Jesus just go around preaching the kingdom, or did he demonstrate it? He demonstrated it. Did the apostles go around teaching the kingdom, or did they demonstrate it? And if you study the early church fathers, they preached it and they demonstrated it. We think that preaching the gospel is the main thing that Christians should be doing. Do you know that 2/3 of Jesus' ministry was healing the sick and casting out demons? He happened to also preach the kingdom, but 2/3 of his ministry was demonstration of it. Okay, so it says that it will be proclaimed to the whole world and then the end will come. So again, Jesus is laying out what this would look like. And it's all directed at believers. Now, do I think that we're there yet? No. Do I think we're close? Yes. And as I've said many times before, if John has the right to say we are living in the last hours, then I think I have the right to say we're living in the last seconds. Because when John said it, it was 2,000 years ago. Okay, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2. Other than Revelation, and then other than the passage that we read about what Jesus says concerning the last days, there's other passages in Thessalonians, and there's other hints of it with Paul, but this is an entire chapter talking about what to look for in the last days. Now, I know I just preached on this. I think it was like 3 or 4 months ago. Maybe it was earlier. But we highlighted specifically what to look for. I want to show you that, again, if we're talking about reality, that I believe that when the, whether you believe it's a 7-year tribulation or a 3.5-year tribulation, whatever it is, that period is going to be a time where truth and love are going to be gone. And I want to show you through Scripture. Again, that's my opinion, that's my interpretation of this Scripture. Again, I just want to say this, as it is a theology, that a lot of pre-tribulation rapture people believe that when we read this verse, when it talks about the restraining, or the one restraining, and then it says the restraining, plural, is many people believe that those are Spirit-filled Christians, the church, who's on the world, or who's on the earth. And then when they're taken up, that's when the tribulation happens, because anything that is the Holy Spirit, anything that is the truth, and everything is taken out. Again, I don't believe that you could substantiate it, that all the Christians are taken out. I could be wrong. Maybe that's the way it's going to happen. But I want to show you that very clearly, mainly truth, but also love, because Jesus says the love of the majority will grow cold, is going to get lesser and lesser and then eventually disappear. So this is Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica, specifically concerning the end days, the end of days. He says, brothers and sisters, concerning the return of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, please do not be quickly shaken in your mind, nor be disturbed, agitated, or alarmed by a spirit, a word, a letter, or message. Now, Paul is being specific. He's saying it could come any way. And when it says a spirit, he could be referring to a person. It says, but I would also say this. I've seen this, and again, I'm not coming against anybody, but I've seen well-meaning Christians that will say, well, the Lord told me this. And they'll say that to me, and I'll be like, well, I would go back and rethink this and pray, because the Bible clearly says in this passage this, which is in contrary or contradicting what you said God said. And God is not going to say something that's contradictory to his word. Amen. Okay? And they're like, well, it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit told me. And so I think that is dangerous. And that's why he says, don't let it be a spirit. Don't let it be a word. You know, and when he says word, I believe he's talking about a word of knowledge. Somebody going, well, I heard from the Lord and the Lord said this. Don't let it be a word. Don't let it be a letter, because these are letters in the New Testament that are written to Thessalonica, written to Rome. They're letters from the apostles. So he says, don't believe it if it's a letter or even a message or a messenger from us or claiming to be from us, that the day of the Lord is presently taking place. Now, your Bible say that the day of the Lord has come. I don't like that translation. I don't think it's clear in the Greek, because that means they feel like they've missed the day of the Lord. He's come, he's taken people, and they're like, what are we still doing here? What it means when it says that the day of the Lord has come, because how many of you know that the day of the Lord is not an actual day? The day of the Lord, if you read in Revelation, is a period of time. That, and really the period of time, the tribulation, leads up to the return of Christ, and then the bowls of wrath are poured out, and God destroys the earth. So he says, don't let anybody fool you that this is taking place. And he's very specific. So I always tell believers, if you really want to know what to look for in the last days and don't want to be really confused reading the book of Revelation, this is the place to look, because it's more succinct. It's not as much in detail, but it gives you enough detail on what to look for. And I believe Paul wants to be specific here, because he's apparently addressing an issue that this entire church in Thessalonica is worried that we're in the day of the Lord. So look, he says, claiming to be from us that the day of the Lord is presently taking a place. Allow no one in any way to trick and deceive you into delusion from the true reality. He says, this is how it's going to play out. Now, before we go to the next slide, I put a note in there, Matthew 24:4, which precedes the verses that we read starting in Matthew 24:9, where Jesus is talking about the end of days. Jesus starts off, before he starts talking about the destruction of the temple and the end of days, he says, see to it that no one deceives you. So in the exact same way, Paul is saying the same thing. Allow no one in any way to trick and deceive you into delusion from the true reality. So if you hear, again, I bless them, well-meaning Christians or even well-meaning people saying this is how the end is going down. If it's not what Jesus said, if it's not what the Apostle Paul said, if it is not coinciding what John, when he wrote the Revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the last book of your Bible, if it does not fit with that, do not receive it. Amen? Don't receive it. Even if somebody's like, yeah, but they had a dream and an open vision from God, this is how it's going to go down. I don't care. They're deceived. God is not going to contradict his own word. Okay, so let's see how it's going to play out. So he says that the end, or the day of the Lord, or our gathering together to him, will absolutely not happen until the apostasy comes first. That word in the Greek is apostasia, and it means defection, desertion, or leaving a previous standing. Now, in my last teaching, when we talked about the end of days, I said this is not necessarily just talking about Christians. I believe that it's that Paul, since he's speaking to Christians, it's talking about that. But I believe that this could be a defection from many standings, okay? And I explained why. If the man of lawlessness, when he comes on the scene, if you read in Revelation, he's called the beast and he has a false prophet, and it says that the entire world will go after the beast. Anyone whose names are not written in the book of life before the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. You have to remember, it's not just Christianity is the only religion on the planet. So when it talks about the apostasy, I do believe it's talking about the statistic that I gave earlier that, you know, massive amounts of Christians are being persecuted, therefore massive amounts of Christians are walking away from the faith. I do believe that that is part of the apostasy, but I also believe it will be a worldwide event, because I don't know how else we could go after, the whole world would go after the beast. I mean, you've got Muslims, you've got atheists, you've got Wiccans, you've got all kinds of different people. And I didn't even mention all the major religions. Plus, you got all the denominations. What I'm saying is something about this person is going to enter into the scene, no matter what standing that you are currently taking in life. It says that there will be a falling away, a defection, a desertion, or leaving a previous standing. If I was Muslim, now I'm not going to be Muslim because I'm going to be going after this guy. Unless maybe the Antichrist comes on and says that Muslim is the real religion. Then the Muslims don't have to change. Everybody else is going to have to change. But do you see what I'm saying? It's going to be a worldwide event that everybody's going to go after this specific guy or this specific system. So he says, listen, the day of the Lord, you didn't miss it. It's not currently at hand until the apostasy comes first. Look for this event that either it's a great falling away of the church, but also a great falling away or leaving a previous standing of people and how certain they were about things in the world. You know, I had shared it that one time, and this is Joshology. You know, do not write this down and go, Pastor said it's going to happen this way. I said, you know, with all this talk about, you know, aliens and all of these different things, I said, you know, the Antichrist could come on the scene and say, and do all of these miracle signs and wonders on TV for everyone to see. And he could say, listen, I come here, I'm actually a God, and I seeded the ground of this planet. And so I am your God. And then that would very, and if he could do all these miracle signs and wonders, I believe that that would be something that everybody would go after him. But it's going to be a major event. So he says, first, this apostasy is going to happen. Next comes the man of sin who is unveiled or revealed. The same word, apocalypto, in the Greek, when it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, your last book is not just called Revelations. It's called the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling, the apocalypto of Jesus Christ. This is the apocalypto of the man of sin. How many of you know the Antichrist is not, he's just not just against Christ, but he's a pseudo-Christ. He's a fake. And so he will want to mimic things that Jesus did. Jesus did the most greatest miracle, signs, and wonder of any person, even though he was also God on the planet. I believe the Antichrist will do the same. So he calls him the man of sin. Some of your translations say the man of lawlessness, but we already established earlier that sin is lawlessness. So it says, the man of sin is revealed or unveiled. He is the son of destruction. He has a title, just like Jesus is called the Son of God. He's called the Son of Destruction. Some names translated for Satan means the destroyer. He will directly and oppose and simultaneously lift himself up above every so-called god or object of worship. So he's not going to only directly oppose any kind of worship of any kind of deity on this planet or any kind of object of worship. And I would say an object of worship, even though we don't worship the cross, but that's a symbol of Christianity. Many religions have a symbol. And so he says he's going to oppose all of these things, and also at the same time, he's going to lift himself up above all of them and say that he's greater than all. It says he will sit down on a throne in the temple of God, and he says he performs this act to declare that he is God. Now again, people have different theories about this. I'm going to give you my personal one because I have the microphone. Okay, if you've been following other than the war that's going on between the Israeli war, if you follow the Temple Institute, you can go and look it up. The Temple Institute in Jerusalem has every part of the temple, the table of showbread. They obviously don't have the Ark of the Covenant. We don't even know where that is. It's in some warehouse somewhere. Indiana Jones? Okay, all right. They don't have the Ark of the Covenant, but they have all of the other pieces. And so all of the pieces are ready. They have the candelabras, everything, and it's been measured. It's been made exactly the way that the Bible says. All they have to do now is build the temple. I don't know if you followed, I think it was last year or the year before, that a Texas rancher had pure red heifers. And they need a red heifer to sacrifice in order to reinstitute the temple sacrifices. Those were delivered to Israel, and currently they are being inspected as they grow to make sure that they don't have spot or blemish, because that's what the priests were supposed to do. Now, the only reason they haven't built the temple is because some people believe that the true Temple Mount is where the Dome of the Rock is. And how many of you know you can't just go in and bulldoze the Dome of the Rock? Some Muslims would be very upset about that. So until they find and agree upon and can build the actual temple, again, I believe, because all of these other things are lining up, that once you start to see the construction of the temple, we are very close. Because they have everything else. They have all the other temple pieces, and they have the red heifers. So it says that he will sit down on the throne in the temple of God, and he performs this act to declare that he is God. I mean, think about it. If he sits in the temple of Yahweh, and how many of you know, this would actually be an added piece in the temple because there is no throne in the original temple. There is simply the Holy of Holies where the Holy Spirit dwells. So if they put a throne in there, or the Antichrist insists that they put a throne on there, he's done all these miracles, signs, and wonders to deceive the world, then he's going to sit in the temple of God, and it says that he performs this act to declare that he is God. Okay, let's go on. Now Paul says, he breaks in here, he says, remember when I was with you, I told you these things. But he says, that which restrains you know. Or restrains him, meaning the man of sin, the Antichrist, the son of destruction. That which restrains, you know. This is so the man of sin will be unveiled in his time. So again, there's this, I don't know if it's a person, again, or I'm saying I have a belief about it, but people are like, is the restrainer a person? Is it an entity? Is it God himself? Some people believe it's the church. But there's this thing that's keeping the man of sin, the son of destruction, to be unveiled. We're basically the culmination of all of the sin, because what did Jesus say? That sin will be multiplied to maximum potential. And why will it do that? Because eventually all of that maximum potential sin will be manifested in a person, which is this man of sin, the son of destruction. Because he says the restraining will happen so the man of sin will be unveiled in his time, which has not happened yet. He says the mystery of sin is already at work because of the present restraining, which will one day cease. So what do we call the mystery of sin? We see sin in the world. We know that it's going on. It's becoming more and more rampant. And so the Bible calls that the mystery of sin. The Bible also refers to one other mystery. He calls it the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus has not yet returned. So there's this mystery going on. People are getting saved. People are getting set free from things. People are being healed. It's a mystery because by biblical definition of a mystery means that we don't see and understand why yet. Now we can look at the scriptures and understand that, but how many of you know that the Bible says that when Jesus comes, it says we will know fully as we are fully known. I believe what that means is that when Jesus comes, all the believers that look unto him, we will instantly be like him, and we will now understand everything. I will be the first to put my hand up to say that there are things in the Bible that I'm not going to know fully until Jesus comes. And that's why it's called the mystery of the gospel. This is called the mystery of sin. And it is already at work because of the present restraining, which will one day cease. So whatever this restraining is will be done. And when it is, it says the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will slay with the breath of his mouth and will render him inoperative by his appearing coming presence. So once Jesus returns, that is the end for the man of sin. Now, I'm going to show in the scriptures to come, I'm going to propose the idea. And again, if you want to disagree with me, that's fine. I'm saying this is where I'm at. I believe that this restraining is the Holy Spirit. Now, pre-tribulation rapture people are like, well, yeah, but the Holy Spirit indwells the believer, and so the only way that the Holy Spirit is going to disappear off the planet is if the believer is raptured out. And that's fine. You could believe that. I don't believe that. What I believe is when I say that the Holy Spirit is going to be taken out of the way or the restraining is going to cease is because if you look carefully in Joel, the prophecy from God is in the last days, I will pour forth my what? Spirit. He doesn't say I'm going to baptize individuals in the Holy Spirit. He says I will pour forth my spirit on all what? Flesh, on all mankind, on every man, woman, and child. He will pour it out. Now, that doesn't mean that you automatically get it. In the same way that you would say that Jesus died on the cross, he shed his blood, that does not make everybody automatically saved. You have to receive the message and make him Lord. And the same way the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the entire planet, but in order to receive it and be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have to want that. You have to receive it, and people lay hands on you, and you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Baptized is just a churchy word for immersed completely, which is why we dunk people under. It's immersion in the Holy Spirit. So I believe, and again, this is just, again, I want to say my opinion based on the text, that the restraining is the Holy Spirit that's in the earth. The believers that are here and have received the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that you are been sealed with the Holy Spirit. If I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit, if the Bible calls it the down payment, remember we did one teaching that talked about in the Greek, it actually refers to what an engagement ring would be the equivalent to. It's basically saying Jesus is our groom. He gives us the Holy Spirit, the engagement ring, and says, I'm coming. And so if you've received that, that does not leave you. You've been sealed. He lives on the inside of you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, I believe that's the right verse. I have to go look it up later. But we've talked about this in the before, that it says, when we have joined ourselves to Jesus, we have become one spirit with him. So if the restraining leaves, he's not going to rip that spirit. It would rip us in two because we are one with him. I believe it's talking about the general outpouring of the Holy Spirit will be lifted off. And I'm going to show you why I believe that. So here we go. The man of sin will work the works of Satan in counterfeit miracles, works of power, signs, and wonders. He will deceive through illusion in every form of unrighteousness those who are perishing. They are welcoming with open arms all this deceit and illusion because they did not welcome with open arms the love and truth unto salvation. Now, some of your Bibles say the love of the truth. I went and looked it up in the Greek. This is a more accurate way of saying this. Basically saying love and truth was here in the person of the Holy Spirit. And why do I know love and truth are the biggest things? What did we learn last week? What is the most common name for the Holy Spirit? Spirit of truth. That is his title. He has many titles, but that is the main title that Jesus calls him in John chapter 14, verses John through John 16. The Spirit of truth. And it says that when he comes, he will tell you the truth and he will reveal all truth. So literally, when you receive and get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're baptized in truth. The truth is on the inside of you, attached to your spirit. That's why we talk about, we said last week, there's many people that are woke, but we are what? Awake. He will deceive through illusion in every form of unrighteousness those who are perishing. And again, it says, they are welcoming with open arms all this deceit and illusion. They're welcoming it because they rejected with open arms the love and truth unto salvation. So a time is coming in the end where love and truth will be taken out. Jesus says the love of the majority will be blown cold. Again, I believe if the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is the what? Spirit of truth. I believe if the Antichrist, the son of destruction, is a pseudo-Christ or Antichrist, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, then I have to believe that Satan is not the way, or he's going to be a deceptive way, and he is a lie. He's the opposite of Christ. And so doesn't it make sense that truth in the earth is restraining, or the spirit of truth is restraining the man of sin, and then when the spirit of truth is taken out, other than what resides in the believer, there is no more truth left on the planet, no more love to be able to receive in order to be saved. That's why it says that all of this deception is to those who are perishing, because I believe there will be believers on the earth that have been sealed in the spirit of truth, and it will literally be like, and again, I know I just kind of poo-pooed the Left Behind series, but if you've seen it, there's this time where, like, he's in the room and he just received Jesus, but the Antichrist is there, and there's this like sequence going on where he pulls out a gun and shoots people, and like everybody's like just staring like, hey, that's cool. And they see something else that happens, but he sees the real reality of what took place. They see like this guy going for his gun, and then they protect the Antichrist and they shoot this guy, but all happened is the Antichrist took out his gun and blew his brains out. But they were in deception and illusion because the restraining was gone and the man of lawlessness was there, the man of sin. But the believer who has truth in him saw the reality. Because this says he will deceive through illusion. And it says that they will believe all deceit, all illusion, because they did not welcome love and truth. So if you do not welcome love and truth up to a certain time, it won't be available to you anymore. Next verse. Because of this, God will, and I put send or allow because that Greek word can be translated either way. God will send or allow a supernatural working delusion so that all will believe the counterfeit. Well, how can all believe the counterfeit if there's still truth and love in the earth? They can't. It says all. And you Greek scholars know that all in the Greek means what? Yes. Okay. All means all. This is so, and he stays why? Because people are like, well, God's really mean to do that. Well, truth and love has been on the planet in its fullest effect since Jesus Christ died and rose again. He says, this is so judgment will fall on all those who chose not to believe the truth, or literally chose not to believe reality, but rather thought well and good of unrighteousness. If you reject the truth, you believe the lie. If you reject righteousness, you embrace unrighteousness. If you embrace unholiness, you reject holiness. It's always on two opposite sides. It's black or white. Next verse. Okay, here's some last verses. You actually have to turn in your YouVersion Bible, or if you have a Bible, I'm going to read these real quick. Actually, it's still in your notes, right? If you have the app, it's still in your notes. Okay, this is the New American Standard Bible, so this is not the Greek. This is the end after what everything Paul just laid out to the church in Thessalonica. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification. Sanctification is just a fancy church word that means made holy by the Spirit. So how are you sanctified? How are you made holy? By the Spirit and faith in the truth or reality. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught. That sounds like perseverance and standing firm, right? It's the same thing Jesus said. He who perseveres to the end will be saved. And in Revelation, he who perseveres stands through all of this illusion and hatred and offense. He who takes the stand and perseveres will be saved. So he says, hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now jump to John 17. We read this last week. But again, the end of 2 Thessalonians says that he sanctifies us or makes us holy in faith of the truth. This was Paul writing this. Jesus says the same thing. Verse John 17, this is before he goes to the cross. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth or reality. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, look at this, this is Jesus. We covered this last week. I sanctify myself. Jesus is saying, I make myself holy, that they themselves also may be sanctified or made holy in truth. Jesus says he's the truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. When we receive Jesus, we receive truth. We are fully immersed in truth. And how many of you know the truth is what God said? Love others as I have loved you. And so it's this high standard of love that we have, not just, oh, I just love people. No, in the exact same way Jesus loved you, we are to love others. That is the truth. And so again, I believe based on all of these scriptures, when we talk about not just what to look for in the end days, we need to give people truth now more than ever, because that is the thing that is going to be gone. And I literally believe we'll have two different kinds of people on the planet. Everybody that'll be like, this has got to be God. I mean, look at all these signs and wonders that they're doing. And all the Christians that are going to be like, are they seeing the same thing that we're seeing? And we're literally going to go to the Bible and show them the scriptures, and they're not going to be able to see it because Jesus says they will no longer be, or excuse me, Paul says they will no longer be able to see the truth. I don't know if it'll appear differently in the text. I don't know if all the Bibles will be destroyed. I don't know all the details or what are going on, but I know that there's a time where truth and love will be gone, and it will be impossible for them to be able to receive it because it's been taken out. Which is why we should have the greatest push ever to bring people to the truth. And remember, we talked about it last week, and I'm going to end with this because it's appropriate that Valentine's Day is coming up. I was going to say this at the beginning, but how many of you know Satan just doesn't come on the scene and be like, all this stuff you believe is bogus? It's subtle. It's so subtle. Valentine's Day is a perfect example of this. Now, I'm not against guys getting something for your special someone. You know, don't tick off the wife. But listen, did you know that Valentine's Day is about Saint Valentine's? Do you know who he was? He was a priest, or at the most, he was a bishop who was living during the time of a persecuted church, and his main ministry was ministering to persecuted Christians. He got caught doing this, he got put in jail, and then eventually he was martyred. And so that has turned into chocolate and flowers and cards. And the naked baby that has the bow and arrow. Cupid. It's the same thing with Christmas. It's the same thing as everything. And again, why am I saying all of this? Is it bad if you celebrate Valentine's Day or Christmas? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying be aware about how subtle this stuff is taken out. That's just one tiny example. But that's what Valentine's Day is. Why? Because we can't possibly celebrate a day where a persecuted Christian was ministering to persecuted Christians and then the world killed him. We would never celebrate such a day. Because even when we try to do that on Christmas, the world tries to say, it's this guy that delivers presents all in one night. So we're not going to have a part three. This is the end of this. And if you feel like you just kind of got brought right in the middle of it, go back and listen to last week's teachings. But it's so important. And again, don't get in people's faces about it. Don't try to have an argument to have an argument. If your place to bring people into the truth is not coming to it from a place that's saying, I love them so much that I want them to be saved, then don't go there. Because so many people in the world just want to have these endless debates that go nowhere and just create larger divides, bigger factions, and everybody hates each other. Listen to the Holy Spirit on when he prompts you to be able to share truth with people. Amen?